is the Lord. Well, it's good to hear those testimonies. Amen. But God is good. He's there for us. He loves us regardless. You know, I just know that there have been times where, you know, when Adrian and I moved and we were just stepped out in faith to put our house up on the market and do different things, and God just came through, because in the natural it looked like nothing was going to happen. You know, I mean, how's this all going to work out? But he works things out. We know when you're led, and he's leading you to do things, he's always there. He's always there for you to help you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll let the little people go. My goodness, we're sneaking off already, or halfway down the hall, and we're going to have a good time today. Amen. Why? Because the word is always good all the time. You know, Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of your mouth." You know, we never talk about going down to the, either going to have hot or cold, you know, like you go through coffee shop or something, or they ask you, "Oh, okay, you want that hot or you want that cold?" They never say, "Do you want it lukewarm?" Right? No, it's either hot or cold. I think a lot of the key, and then I see, you know, especially over the years, is you're going to receive what you want out of the word and from God, depending on your temperature, depending on your hunger level. You know, there are just things. I remember getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and the Lord speaking to me about things just because I was just so hungry for it. And I've said this before. When I went to a denominational church when I was younger. My grandparents went to the same church I went to. And my grandfather passed away, but his name was Eugene. I remember the pastor saying one time, you know, and this really affected me too. You know, you ever notice those times in your life where you'll hear something or something will happen and it just kind of impacts you the rest of your life, or it just kind of makes a mark on you for something. And that day, I remember where I was sitting kind of in the back of the church, and I remember the pastor saying, "Well, you know, Gene Ansel, he's been believing for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for over 20 some years now." And I thought, "What? There's just something wrong about that, you know?" So Adrian and I were, and that kind of set in my mind, like, wow, this must be really hard, you know, if it's been 20 years. And then I remember we went to Jubilee there in Oski, and we had been married, got married in August, and we have been kind of a couple months just trying out churches and everything and just different things. Well, anyway, got planted in that church there. It was December about this time, and we're all having a Bible study, you know, at pastor's house, and Sunday night. Anyway, so I just looked at Adrian and I said, "Man, I'm like on the way over there. So I'm going to get it tonight." I was just about as, you know, spiritual as Barney Fife with, you know, one bullet in his gun. And, you know, I mean, I was just about as dangerous as, yeah. So, but what was the determining factor? It was just hunger level, right? I was just hot for God. I was just on fire for Him, and I wanted it now. That night. And guess what? You know, we had a couple of chairs like this. It was just like this. It was like two chairs in their living room, and he was praying for people. And we were sitting back there, and I mean, it was just like, boom, it just exploded all over me. And I'm just like, had it. Then, the determining factor is hunger level. So anytime you're in the body of Christ or the things of God, your hunger level is going to have an enormous two things. Number one, hunger level and knowledge. If you have the hunger level, the knowledge will eventually come. Why? Because you're going to chase after it. We were kind of talking a little bit about Friday night about different things. You know, people in the Bible often had no knowledge of the word. I mean, they understood some things. But they came to Jesus, they were just hungry. It's like, hey, this guy, people got healed, things happened, and we're just going to show up. Jairus was a religious leader. Notice how he didn't go to his religious buddies. But he went to what was happening, and that was Jesus. Jesus was healing people. Things were happening. He was hungry. See, he went against his own religious philosophy, his own ideas, and he was hungry for truth. Because Jesus said there in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, right? Truth. Truth is not just a concept, it's a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's really no life except through Jesus, and there's no truth except through him, and there's no way except through him. So really, it's person. And in the Old Testament, everything just points to him. So again, you know, how hungry are we going to be? How desperate are we going to be for him? You know, Jesus, it's really interesting here how there in it was in Luke and John, I think they both, but you know, Jesus is talking about you're gonna eat my drink, you're gonna eat my body, you're gonna drink my blood, blah, 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 you know, and they all freak out, and Jesus didn't go, guys, come on back, guys, come on back. I mean, nowadays we're always, you know, But Jesus was just, I mean, I love you. I want to be around the people that are hungry for me. That's Jesus, you know. Can you imagine, like, I mean, he had all these disciples. It wasn't just the 12 disciples he had following around. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people, right? Because there's at least 70 that we know of. And can you imagine that? 70 disciples and then their families. And then, you know, we always think of Jesus, you know, in all the pictures and all the movies. You know, they have 12 following Jesus. Let me just tell you something. There was a caravan following Jesus that was huge. I mean, can you imagine 12? Whether they had their wives and their families. I mean, we know Peter was married because his wife or his mother-in-law had a fever. Jesus healed her, and then she turned around and was making food for him. So can you imagine they had wives, they had kids, and then there was at least he sent the 2x2, the 70 out. They have wife, they have kids on top of the 12. Guys, there's a crowd following Jesus. There was something happening. That if we dig into the scripture, we just see some things. This isn't mad. I mean, can you imagine Jesus coming along? I mean, how many of you know a crowd draws a crowd? I don't know how come I'm getting off on all this stuff, but can you imagine Jesus coming to town? There's a caravan of people with him, you know? And he's healing people, all these other things that are happening. I mean, wherever Jesus is at, there is a crowd of people no matter where he's at. So, you know, just kind of piggyback off of, and I've been talking about it several weeks now. You know, Jessica was sharing, Adrian was sharing just a minute. Anytime people are hungry for God and begin to have the revelation, religious people want to bow down to the devil. They want to honor him. They want to do all this other stuff. People who are engaged and have the word and that are connected with Jesus, you have an absolute hatred towards the enemy. And one of the slides that was up there, I think it was Bill Johnson was talking about, you know, you can love people and not God, but you can't love God and not people. You know, if you're going to love God, you got to hate the devil. You've got to hate the works of the darkness. It doesn't work both, you know. Yeah, I see so many people that are religious and they want to, you know, oh, I love God, I love God. And then they're like, oh, the devil hear you. Well, good. I want him to hear me, right? Hello? I remember Brother Hagin talking about that. I think it was California somewhere years ago when he was on the road, like 50s or 60s, and there was a big virus going around or something, and all these schools were closing down and all this other stuff, and they were going to close down the services and everything else, and these ministers were there, and Brother Hagin was talking, and then one of the ministers said, and they're all scared, acting like, well, you know, the devil will hear you. He goes, well, good. He's the dude I want him to hear, right? See, we're all so, if we're son or daughter of the living God, we've got royal DNA. We've got royal blood flowing through us, literally. I remember reading something about how often people have done, they've done DNA tests or they've done certain things with our blood before and after somebody's born again, and it does change. There is something about the quality of our something that happens. We're a new creature. That's biblical. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? I believe there's something that does happen to us. We're a new creature on the inside, but it's got to affect the outside. I mean, it's got to do something to us, right? At some point. So as Christians, you know, if you're going to be hot for God, if you're going to be on time, I remember talking with, you know, Gary Crow, Dean of Rhema. He was here, and we were had fellowship. That was a good time. Talking about Lester Sumrall. I love Lester Sumrall, by the way. I love Lester Sumrall. And him talking about just some of the stories, and he said, he was telling him about, he was in this room, and it must have been a former occultist or something, you know. And so Lester Sumrall was there, and he was turned the lights off and fell asleep, and all of a sudden he woke up, and his bed was moved and everything else, and these spirits were trying to harass him. So he got up, and he said, in the name of Jesus, you move it back. And he says, leave. And then he says, leave. And he says, no, you come back and move everything to where it was before. And so everything went back to where it was before, right? Uh-huh. And I remember one time, Lester Sumrall waking up, and Lucifer, Satan, was standing right next to him in bed. He woke up. And he'd be like, ah, oh, it's just you. Go back to sleep. Uh-huh. Right? Most people would flip out, right? Yeah. Whip the bed or whatever, you know. What does it mean? He identifies with Christ. That's the main thing, right? He identifies. Here's Jesus. Here's me. Here's me. Here's Jesus, right? Waiting for a punchline there, aren't we? So, but it's identification, isn't it? I am, and Jesus and I are joint heirs. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ, right? So again, we've got to be ruthless with the devil because guess what? Let me just say something here. There's no neutral in this life, okay? Let's just get that down really quick right now. There's no neutral. There's no, I'm going to stand over here and I'm going to be like this because guess what? You're either on the attack or you're on the defense, one of the two. You're playing offense or defense. You don't watch football and go, oh, well, he's playing in between right now. No, you're either offense or you're defense, right? There's no baseball. You're either playing defense or you're up to bat. There's no in between ever. No sport. No activity. Right? You're either moving forward or you're going backwards. You got to have it in your heart. You got it. We're gonna move forward. Here's what happens: is religious people they are engaged. They're in neutral, and then what happens is life comes about and everything happens, and they don't want to move forward. They don't want to take the offense. So what happens is things happen to them, and they begin to create doctrines. And they begin to make things up. Well, you know, it's God's will this happen. It's God's will this happen. It's God's will this. No, it's God's will that happens that you get off your derriere and do something. Hello. That we pray, that we, you know, get in the Word, that we do battle, that we come against the enemy. And anyway, John 6, 32 through 40. We're going to dive into this. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Well, who's the true bread? Him. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. That's him. Then said they unto him, Lord, even more, give us this bread. You know, we were talking about this Friday night about, and I'd have been the same way. You know, we can always pick on the disciples and everything else too. Oh, Peter. You know, we're always picking fun at the disciples, like, you know, oh, duh, you should have known that. Duh, you should have done this. Duh. We probably, you know, I don't know. Like, for example, Mark chapter 4, talking about the soil types. There are four different soil types. And then they're like, we don't understand this at all. And Jesus is like, okay, come on back here. Let's talk about this. It explains the four different soil types. Throw the seed on. Talking about the four different soil types is basically how the four different ways that people are going to respond to the Word of God. They're going to accept it with joy. They're going to produce something. They're going to, you know, accept it for a little while. They're going to get excited. Then when problems come along, they're going to let it go. Or the cares of this life are going to come along. And, you know, one of the things talks about is the devil comes along to steal the word. So that's why we talk about it this morning. Everything's great. You get in your car. You leave. 2 or 3 days later, you're like, I'm not too sure about that. That's stealing the word. So anyway, it goes here, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, I'm just not sure it's God's will. I'm not sure it's God's will. Really? It says here he's not going to cast you out. He's going to be faithful, right? For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Here's what I want to get to. No man comes to me except the Father, which has sent me to draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Guys, let me say this. Too many people go, well, I'm just not sure it's God. I'm just not sure it's God. I'm just not sure it's God. Jesus here is saying this. Let me read it again. No man comes to me except the Father, which has drawn me, has sent me to draw him. I will raise him on the last day. You know, people say that God isn't working on their behalf. If you have since, if you love God, the word here is saying that it's because God has drawn you to him. God has already initiated that relationship with you. I just wish God, let me just say something. If you're in church, if you love God, anything else, you look back, you're there because he wooed you there, because he pulled you to him, because he did some things in your life. It's impossible for you to love God without him have already put, whether you realize it or not, you may not, again, I'm sometimes, you know, a little slow on the trigger on some things because I'm human, I'm in this flesh, I'm in this body. One of the things the Word of God is so rich and so valuable, not just understand these things, but what happens is this, our spiritual experiences, we can study the Word and we can, like in this scenario, we can find out, wow, that's what's going on. Like when you sit here and you're actually, you know, you're loving God, you look back and you see the scripture and you see that it is because he has wooed me to him. He has initiated a relationship and a love for me. That's why I love him. John 3:16, John 3:15-20. Goes through all this and we'll look at that here in a minute. So, the main thing is we live in a world full of lies and we're drowning in deception. That's why the devil wants to come along and say, well, God doesn't love you. He doesn't. No, the Bible says that he has already set out, he has already initiated his love for me to pull him into me. Keep going. Truly, truly, I say unto you that he believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the word for the life of the world. Interesting, huh? So God pulls us in. He woos us, the Bible says. Jesus is the life. He is the life source. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:16. God has already wooed you. God has already been doing works on your behalf. I can look back and see God doing things, but you know, in the midst of it, I didn't understand it at all. I didn't understand, like, what's going on in my life? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? He's pulling me in. He's wooing me in. Can I just say something to you? It's a setup. God is setting you up. It's a secret. Go tell everybody. It's a setup. It is. God has set you up for good stuff. It is an amazing God. You know, the devil came along, and all throughout human history, he's been doing things. Even the devil was set up. You're set up for good. I mean, the devil and his nature, he just couldn't help himself but just kill Jesus. Oh. Right? So the Bible says, if we'd have known that he was, well, you know, he's actually putting a noose around his own neck, the devil. But it's set up. Guess what, guys? In this life, if we follow Jesus, it's a setup. Ephesians 3:16. Now, we often hear talk about, this is what we call the Ephesians prayers, okay? And let's look at it a little bit different here. I cease not, verse 16, to give thanks for you, making mention of you my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. God is wanting to, let's stop right here. God is wanting to, not as he wooing you, but those people who are coming to him, he wants to bestow some knowledge, some revelation, some insight, some wisdom. See, we have passed from servanthood, being basically servants in the Old Testament, to sons and daughters. And actually, Jesus went a step farther, and he told the disciples here, I now call you friends. You know, here's something interesting. You can't really choose your family, right? But you can choose your friends. You know, what's the difference between friends and family? You can have friends that are family. But a friend is someone that you may not have had any ties before, but you choose them. Right? Because even we see, you know, when Jesus is there speaking to the multitude, and his you know, his mom and his brother shows up, and, oh yeah, Jesus, your mom and your brother. Wait, this is, see, Jesus was delineating here between, yeah, he's talking about this is my family, but really he's talking about too is these are my friends. These are the ones that I choose to pour into. So, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight in the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. You know what? God has deep and intimate knowledge there that he wants to give us. And you know who's going to get it? Those who are hungry. Those who want him. Because he's no respecter of persons at all. Verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope of which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set-apart ones. Let me just back up to number 17 really quick. This talks to you about the heart issue. I remember sometimes that, you know, when I was younger in the Lord, I'd get, you know, upset or irritated with a pastor, you know, whatever. And during those times, you know, I just walk around, I'm just not getting anything. But you know, when I repented and I came back, it was like, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because it was me. And I was blocking the flow because of my issues. Yeah. other people on the show, I'm just not getting anything. Really? I mean, because if you just catalog through the Bible, you're going to get something, right? And somebody just talking the Bible, you're going to get something. I do. Maybe you're on a way different spiritual level than I am, but I'm just saying anytime that I crack this thing open, I'm getting something. What are we at? Verse 19. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and unsurpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Now, anytime we're talking about the word here, you got to look at things in order. I always say there's called one of the theological rules is called the law of order, meaning there's certain order, and you look at in that order, right? So when we look at this, when I'm always reading the Bible or anything, I'm always looking at order. What's starting here? Number one, don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, right? So there's a prayer life. There's a thankfulness. It means your heart is positioned to a place where you can receive some things. You're hungry for the mysteries of God. Guess what? You don't approach me. You don't call me. You don't talk to me. We're not going to have a conversation. You're not going to know anything about me. The same with God. What does that take? Initiation. So we see here, too, that Jesus just said the scriptures we just read earlier. And Jesus said that he's the one, that God is the one that has been wooing us, right? But there's at some point where God wants us to take the reins and to pull on him. Again, I look back through my whole life and I see how God has been doing things. He's been moving things. He's been brought people across my paths. But I know for a fact they would have went a lot quicker if I'd have been praying about it. Or if I'd understood some things. But he brought people across my path. So, verse 16 talks about heart issue. Getting yourself. Don't always give thanks. Praying. Making mention you in my prayers. So in my prayers means there's a habit. We're living in prayer. We're walking those things out. Verse 20, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age, and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. All power, all authority. Now, we obviously don't want to be arrogant, but we do need to be arrogant towards the enemy. Right? We should just be ready to rip his head off. Now the Bible says love your enemies, meaning those people in this earth that are people, right? So if we had a real revelation, you know, I remember being in Demata, we would read this every day, wouldn't we? Every day we would read the Ephesians prayers. Every day. And then it would just be so amazing. Walk out of there, I was like, wow, that was amazing. Wow, that was amazing. Wow, that was amazing. Well, part of it was because of this, because we're praying the Ephesian prayers, that our eyes are enlightened, right? So part of this is, number one, having the revelation of verse 21, that we have far above all rule, and it doesn't matter who it is, what the name is, we have authority over it, if we get that in our head. Have the revelation. Not only in this world, but other entities out there. The Bible also talks about there's heavenly realms where there's probably authority some other places out there. Also in heaven, under the earth, no matter where it's at. See, we always just think that, you know, we're just right here in this realm here. There's other forces out there, and guess what? We've got authority over them. He has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, which is Jesus, as headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Wow, that's a mouthful. But what it comes down to is this: you and I are the manifestation of Jesus here on the earth. And Jesus has bestowed that authority on us. You know, one of the things that the religious folks came and they made mention of Jesus was he speaks as one with authority. One with authority. I mean, if you're a devil or something and you come against Jesus, you're going to be moving like real quick. Yeah. But there's no messing around. Luke 11:9 says this. We'll finish up with this, but it says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." Many people want to read this and say, "I say unto you, ask, and if it's God's will, he'll do it. Seek," well, it might take your whole life. You may not seek. You may not find until on the other side. And the show, in it, a little crack might be open so you can maybe see a little bit. No. Anytime we come to him, he's going to open the door. He's going to allow us. God's not very good at hide and seek, right? I mean, I'm over here. Hello. We're not back at Sesame Street with Elmo. Elmo's world. Hide and seek, crayons with Elmo. Happy Elmo. No, Jesus, the Lord's like, I'm here. Ask, I'm everywhere. Romans, the first chapter, says that you can just walk outside and see his glory everywhere in nature. I believe that's probably something that weren't you watching that on Friday night? Yep. You ever notice one thing with people who have faith throughout history and in the Word? They just have a little bit of arrogance to them. And other people will just like, oh, that's just crazy. I've been around some of those people. They're loving people. They're very good. But they're just some spank in them. I mean, they're just some sass when you're around them that much. Why? You got to. Well, I'm just not sure. Hunger. Knowing God. I have some friends of mine that used to. David Hogan, he's a guy I listened to, but years ago I have friends of mine that usher and do things with him and help things out. And it's like, you don't get in his way. He's just... Yeah. Either get on board or get off, you know. Been around Pastor Hagin before a lot. It's kind of like, this is where we're going. Let's do it. Get on board. Right? Doesn't mean people are rude or they're unloving. It just means that stuff to do for God. We're going to go up to the devil. We're going to have faith. We're going to be on God's side. Verse 10, "For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be what? Opened." Here's the thing about people with faith is this, I mean, it's you're already considering it done before you even get there. And then if it doesn't happen, then we'll just kick it open, right? We'll make it happen. It's going to happen. One of the things that I remember down at Rhema, I was down there and listening to my instructors and just in prayer and healing school is this. One of the things that you see is people just give up. They just lose heart. That's it. We see the people that don't. They got a bulldog attitude, right? A pit bull attitude on the word. They just come there. They sit under the word for a week. They go to prayer school with us. They let us pray for them. Healing school. They get it. Right? We see people have conditions, and then they get healed, and then for whatever reason, it comes back on them for whatever reason. And what happens is with some of these people, it's not that God isn't willing to heal, but they just shut down because they think about what they've gone through before. It has nothing to do with God not wanting to heal them or anything else. It's just that mental shutdown. They just give up. Like, I don't want to go through this again. Why? He did it before. He'll do it again. Right? Seeing people in wheelchairs, they can't hardly move, and they're like this, and by the end of the week, they're up there like this. Something's happening. Hello? Don't give up. Keep going. Standing there before, next to somebody, got healed of AIDS. You know, ladies, they have lumps and, you know, breast cancer, everything healed right there. Go to the bathroom. Stuff falls off in the bathroom. It's right there on the spot, you know. Go check. Make sure. Yeah, yeah. Healing all the time. Well, because we're not going to put up with it. Because we know right here, for anyone, everyone who asks receives, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. I mean, I don't see any documentation. I don't see anything in the Bible where somebody came to Jesus and Jesus says, you know what? I'm just tuckered out right now. I mean, you know, why don't we just pick this up next week sometime? You know, I got a trip to Tahiti I'm on right now. You know, I'm on vacation right now. Could we just table this for now? No, it wasn't anything like that. I mean, Jesus was actually really ready to go the extra mile because we see that the centurion, he came like, okay, I'll go with you. And he goes, nah, you don't need to come with me, Jesus. You just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. And what's Jesus go? Whoa. Because the centurion said, I know that you're a man in an authority. I'm under authority. I tell this one to go and he goes, and I tell this one to come and he comes. And Jesus is like, not bad. Wow, he's got something here. Yeah. Because Jesus is ready to go walk. Now, here's Jesus. Jesus could have just said, I'll just speak the word and it'll be done. But even Jesus himself was ready to go with the centurion. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was shocked going, I mean, this is way more than I thought. I mean, this guy's out there, you know? Hello? Jesus was ready to go the extra mile. I mean, he was going to Cornelius' house, his daughter, or Jairus' daughter. Well, what's happened? He's got all these people around him, you know, and the woman with the issue of blood touches him. What did she say? If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Okay. All right, I got to remember Brother Hagin's series. Okay, I got to memorize Mark 11:22. I got to remember it 100 times. I got to say it. I got to say it. I got to say it. Nope. Just touch. I'm healed. I'm done. That's it. And then he sensed the virtue of the power go out of him. And then, you know. So he's on his way to somebody's house for healing and gets interrupted. And then he shows up too late. She's dead. He says, no big deal. She's just sleeping. We'll get her all taken care of. What do they all do? Laugh at him. He thinks she's sleeping. He's right. Oops. Open mouth, insert foot. That's something Jesus. You walk along with him long enough, it'll be open mouth, insert foot. Yeah. A lot of those things going on. But we see Jesus wasn't always just, I mean, And he had to say a couple of times, like, I got to rest. I got to spend time with my Heavenly Father because they're always, but he always had time for Jesus, even the little kids, you know? I mean, today's big shot ministers, they'd be like, you know, we've got children's ministers to take care of this stuff. And no, Jesus was cool. He's like, oh, I love the kids. And you know, there's something about Jesus when kids want to be around him. There's something very interesting, you know? Some of these people on TV are kind of creepy, you know? I mean, I know my kids, my girls would be kind of, I'm not too sure about this, Daddy. But kids want to be around Jesus. So there's something about him. Well, of course, it's the anointing and just being the Son of God. I mean, who doesn't want to be around Jesus? Amen. Father, we come before you. Glory to God this morning. We thank you that you're a good God, that number one, you've wooed, you are wooing, you are pulling us towards you, that we are not here, we are not in love with you as a result of just something we've done, but you have set us up, and it's a big setup, but we're welcoming. It's wonderful, Lord. This morning, as we close, I always want to open up if there's anyone here that needs prayer this morning. You need to come to Jesus. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't care what it is, with the power of the Holy Ghost. We want to pray with you. Amen. Believe with you. Matthew 19, it says, if two or more gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. It says that he is in the midst of us this morning. Not that,
well, I hope Jesus shows up. I hope.
But he's following you. If you're born again, he goes wherever you go. It's like that little puppy goes around everywhere. We've got Holy Ghost in us and upon us. Everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. I just feel lonely. Well, really? He's right underneath your nose. He's in you. Goes everywhere you go. That should be happy time all the time, right? I mean, we should be having happy day. We should be singing, oh, happy day, every day. If that's you, we want to pray with you afterwards. Put our jumper cables on you and believe with you. God is good. Amen. And all the time, God is good. And he is working on your behalf. And everybody repeat it after me. It's a setup. All right. Have a good week. We'll see you all Friday. And bring your singing pants because we're going to be singing on Friday. You bet.